Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Doing good? A few more faces in here. That's good to see. I joked with Rick. I said, I pulled in the parking lot, and I thought maybe people thought we were preaching the prosperity gospel this morning. But okay, so I always come up here, and I speak for about a few minutes. I give the announcements, and then the big guy takes over. So we're going to start. If you've got your hand out, the announcements are all on that back side, so we'll start with, we've got a happy birthday on the 27th to Zion Burdeen, so as always, wish them a happy birthday. And then as far as upcoming events and things are also listed on here, so we see on November 2nd at 9 a.m., we have the Calvary Brotherhood and Sisterhood meeting, and the Brotherhood is continuing a study on the foundation of our nation, and the Sisterhood is a devotional and prayer. So if anybody's interested in joining, you can join that at any point. Come anytime that's listed. And then also, prior to church service, we have a adult Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., and they are currently in the book of Nehemiah. Next Sunday, Graceway here, who's with us today, they will be leading the morning worship, and then we'll have a fellowship luncheon following that. Make sure Calvary, Rhonda told me that people haven't signed up well, so make sure you sign up for that lunch, because if you don't sign up, I guess what, they're not allowed in? Just, no. But go ahead and sign up, that way we have an idea of food and things of that nature. I didn't see this. November 3rd, daylight savings time, the worst 2 weekends of the year. I don't understand why we still do it, but anyways, keep that in mind so you don't, would it be late next week or would it be early? Fall back. See, yeah, you'd still be sleeping. No, I don't know. You'll figure it out. You got a week to figure it out. As far as events go, every Sunday, our little Sunday schedule is listed on there from what happens from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. worship. And then we also have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. Rick has a couple things to say. And then Bob, I need.
Good morning. My name is Rick Hollinger. I want to welcome everyone from Graceway. Thank you for coming this morning. It's good to see all the new faces here, and certainly hope that we have a wonderful worship together. Two announcements I want to make. First of all, Harlan Christian Youth Center. It's a youth ministry in Harlan, Indiana, which is about 15 minutes that way from here. They've been around since 1999, and we have daily groups of kids that come in. The school brings them to us. Privilege that most places don't have anymore, but that we managed to grandfather that in, and they've been taking good care of us. And they have several churches who support them in different ways. You're always welcome to volunteer there, but we have what they call the Church of the Month, where different churches have assigned months where they'll bring in snacks and drinks for the kids. We have 30 to 40 kids on the average day after school. So what we like to see is individual snacks or hot dogs or things like that that can be served to the kids and individual drinks like juice boxes or Capri Suns work really well. If you're able to and you would like to support that ministry, you can bring you can buy the quantity that you want to buy that would help out. Bring them here. Place them on the pew out here in the entry, and we'll see that they get there. And that's for the month of November. We're doing that this year. Our month is the month that's just beginning, November. That's Calvary Baptist and another church that both support during that month. So you would welcome your donations if you're able. Ask you pray about it. Bring what you can, and we'll see that the kids get them. Second announcement is in a few minutes we'll be taking our offering. I understand that we do it differently, a traditional way than what Graceway does. So I wanted to make it clear when we pass the plates around, there's a $1,000 minimum. Okay. Okay. I lied about that. All right. Anyway, if you're a guest here this morning, feel no obligation to put anything in the plate. We'll do our typical offering, and the people will know what to do. You can give to Graceway as you normally do. and no questions will be asked or anything like that. There shouldn't be any complications. Hopefully, everybody will know just what's going on. Thank you very much.
Okay, and then Bob wanted to make everybody known. In the other room, there's a bunch of squash, right? I assume that's from your garden or a garden, not stolen from Kroger. What? Yeah, so that's available for anybody. If you have anything you can do with squash, first come, first serve. Okay, let's go ahead and say a prayer, and then we'll get singing. Dear God, we come to you in prayer here this morning. We just thank you for this new opportunity between the two churches here to gather today, God. We just pray that your Spirit would be here and that your Spirit would move in each and every one of us and give us guidance and wisdom and the ability to focus and concentrate on the message and to participate in the singing, God. We pray that you would be with Mike as he delivers this message. But God, we just pray that you would provide a spirit of unity and love between our new brothers and sisters here in Christ, and that you would just bless this time here this morning. We pray all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
You're invited to stand.
Great is the Lord, he is holy and just. By his power we trust in his love. Great is the Lord, he is faithful and true. By his mercy he proves he is love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice. Your voice, great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, he is holy and just. By his power we trust in his love. Great is the Lord, he is faithful and true. By his mercy he proves he is love. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of glory. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of praise. Great are you, Lord, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice.
Nothing is too difficult for thee.
our Lord God. Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great mighty God, great in counsel and mighty in thee. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning, this beautiful sunny morning, this opportunity to gather in your house and in your presence and lift our songs and our voices up to you, Father. We ask that you bless our service this morning. We thank you for all the fresh faces that we see here and pray that we'll just have a wonderful time together lifting you, Lord, as our Lord and Savior and worshiping you this morning. We ask that you bless our church, bless our community, bless our country, especially right now in this time of decision. Help us to understand the right thing to do, to make the right decisions, and to choose wisely, Father, and help calm the turmoil that we seem to accept as part of our process now these days. We just pray for peace and comfort as we go through this process. And we ask that you bless this offering this morning, Father. We pray that it will be used to glorify and honor you and to build your kingdom. And we ask your blessing on all those who are able to give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
You're invited to stand again.
Seated. Choir, and good to see you guys from Grace Way. Good to have you this morning. If you have your Bible, turn over to Psalms 33, starting in verse 12 through 22. Generally, I think we put that on the board, but if you have your Bible, you can use that too. All right, Psalms 33, starting in verse 12, said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh down from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. For the place of His habitation, He looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by his much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee." Father God, we are here today. We do pray that You will be with us, that You will open our hearts and minds unto You, that You would speak to us, that when we leave this place today, we will not say, "Oh my gosh, I didn't really want to be there, and it turned out to be worse than I thought." Touch us, Lord. Bring us to Your throne of grace. We are in Your presence. We thank You for that. Be with us now as we look at Your word. For these things I ask in that mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, many, many times we are so comfortable in all that we do that we take things for granted, don't we? There are great blessings that God gives to us all around us, the freedoms we have as Americans. But sometimes we're just going on our merry way and everything is copacetic and we're fine until something happens. And then we might look back and say, "Oh, goodness," you know. So when we have these days that we've been having, we've been reminded of the turmoil that is in our nation. And this makes election days more important. It's a privilege, isn't it? It's a responsibility we've been given as Americans. And we've never been educated about these freedoms and how they come to us. Unfortunately, our schools have decided not to teach that kind of history much anymore. But as I have said before, at our core, American principles were founded upon freedom-based principles that our forefathers found in the scriptures. Our forefathers greatly were shaped by biblical principles. They were also shaped, of course, by the free market principles. One of the most influential economic and philosophical writings of that day was from a Scottish economist, Adam Smith. You probably know about him. His book, The Theory of Moral Sentiments, along with other powerful writings, The Wealth of Nations, he argued that human nature was self-serving. And by man seeking betterment for himself, inherently, he raises all men with him. While during the time, this time of the nation's Great Britain, for example, sought to find colonies all over the world, and they did so, didn't they? And they would generally bring the wealth of those colonies back to Great Britain, whether it was gold or silver or some other product, they brought it back. But Smith argued that the nation's real wealth was not in power, its outside adherents, like the countries that they took over, but were in the people of that place. We're faced with these kind of things even today. Friends, it's clear that the principle of freedom that we enjoy as Americans was not given to us by some popular writings, but was those popular writings, if they were worth their salt, found those inspirations in the scripture itself. It's important for us to know the past, the things that made us great, so we can understand them and we can recapture that winning formula that we might be great again. Friends, listen. The left doesn't want us as Americans to know about America, its firm and founding traditions. It doesn't want us to look to the Word of God for guidance, for moral guidance either. Our government can do what they want, they think. Financially, we don't need God. But as God's wonderful church, we are His people, aren't we? We have an assignment to deliver to a highly volatile, changing world all around us, the unchanging Word of God. That's our assignment. And to make disciples of all nations. You know, in ancient Israel, God blessed King Solomon. We know about Solomon. He was blessed with supernatural, God-given wisdom. Solomon's leadership was so widely recognized that foreign rulers came to him with matters to consider, to get his timeless, godly perspectives and advice. Anyone who says that leaders, presidents, senators, congressmen, national leaders, preachers, have no power in setting the morality of the nation, of any nation, they just don't have it right. That's what set us where we're at. We're drifting from that. But we can recapture it. With all this, the methods of today prevent us, though, from doing all kinds of things. I think to myself, it's amazing to me that we have a movement that gains great power of women wanting to kill their babies. I don't get it. You say, well, you're a man, you're a nut, you're an imbecile. Well, maybe so, but I don't get it. Why do we insist it's a woman's right to murder a baby? I don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense for me. We have birth control in every kind of shape, fashion, and form. Pills, IUDs, you name it. Don't we punish murderers in our society? Sometimes it's life imprisonment. Sometimes it's with death. Why? Because at our core, we still understand human life is valuable. It should not be taken in a light and frivolous way. And that's why the abortionists, I think, must constantly insist that the fetus is not a baby. It's just a blob. Well, I'm just of average intelligence, and you know that if you know me at all. But I know that one thing for certain, two things sure, this average intelligent person, I know that that's not a frog. And if you doubt me, just let the baby come to full term, and it won't be a frog. It won't be a rabbit. It's going to be a human being. It's going to be a human being with all kinds of potential, all kinds of things that we don't even recognize and can't recognize until that life is lived and we see what great accomplishments comes from it. Part of the problem in our society is that we have been fed that big lie so long that we are beginning to believe it. We're a biblically ignorant society. We have nothing to inform us or teach us the truth if we go away and do away with the study of the Word of God. We fall into the trap of the person who can shout the loudest or the person who has fame to influence us rather than seeking true, timeless wisdom in the Word of God. President Reagan said this. He says, if I ever forget that we are one nation under God. Reagan said this. You say, I don't like him. He's a Republican. I don't care. He still said it. If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be one nation gone under. George W. Bush, on the other side of the aisle, was asked to name the greatest influence in his life. Now, you could think, what could that guy say? You say, I don't like George W. Bush either. Okay, that's good. Here's what he said, though. He said, the most important thing in my life had been the day that Jesus came into my life and saved my soul. I thought the guy was supposed to be a doofus. He knew something. Listen, praise God. God is greater than all those kind of things. The drive in education, and especially higher education in our nation, I know it myself, is that we have tried to separate biblical teachings from worldly teachings, trying to take away a foundation and then set a building upon sinking sand. And it just fluctuates. It just fluctuates. I know when I, we lived in Florida, I did rough end plumbing. Did anybody know what rough end plumbing is? Oh, okay. That's the guy that gets out there when the foundation is poured and you put all that pipes and things in the ground. And then many, many times in Florida, it was a slab. And so you poured concrete over it. So you know what? It was very important to get it right under the concrete. Or else guess what you're going to do? You're going to have to dig it up and make a hole and do it all over again. Listen, it's the foundation that makes the building strong or not strong. It's what you put into that that makes it worthwhile or a problem. When we're separated from biblical teachings, it's like taking away our foundation. We don't know where to stand. In everyday life, we don't know what to do. In the life of millions and millions of Americans, these things have been taken away, and they do not know what to do. Psalms 146, 3 says, put not your trust in princes, nor in mankind in whom there is no help. And then it says in verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Now, I don't know if you noticed there. It says, happy is he that hath the God of who? Jacob. Now, we normally think Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the psalmist picked out Jacob. I think that all these things are very, very important. Why did he say Jacob? Well, you can debate with me on that, but I'm going to tell you what I think. He picked Jacob because he's the worst. He's the worst. But happy is that man who found the God of Jacob, the God who forgives, the God who lifts up, the God who makes pure, the God who gives strength. Happy is that man. If you don't need any of those kind of things, you're good to go. Don't worry about it. But if you're like me, all those things need help. The great apostle Paul tells us over in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because," what? "The days are evil." We're living in that day, friends. It's more important than ever, when the world seems to be out of control all around us, that we are standing firm to give the world balance and direction. To live biblical principles is not easy. I'm not trying to say that. To reach out in a confused and disheartened world is not easy. We're going to face ridicule. We're going to face opposition. Most assuredly, they always did. But listen, the shortest verse in the Bible is in John's gospel. And you know what it is, don't you? John 11, 35. What is it? Jesus wept. Why was Jesus weeping? Well, first of all, he said, he was weeping because Lazarus, his good friend, had died. That's true. But I think there are many things that Jesus was weeping about in the sense of the society that was around him. Many, many times, tragic things call to our attention and to our minds important things. The terrible storms of life, we've had some terrible ones, hurricanes. These things, many, many times, when we've lost everything, then we need to find something that can't be lost. And people are finding that. I like it that Samaritan Purse gets in there and does their thing. Because they do it. What are they doing it in? In the name of Jesus. Unapologetically, we're here, we're giving you food, we're giving you soap, we're giving you water, we're giving in the name of Jesus. And I suspect, don't you think, if somebody says, "In the name of who?" they would stop and explain who they're talking about. Because they're there to give out that salve, but they're also there with what can cure the heart. We sympathize with those folks, most assuredly. Some of those people have lost everything. Isn't that devastation on clips that we see on television? It's amazing, isn't it? These are tragic events, no doubt about it. But the whole world is on fire. It's on fire. Everyone keeps saying what? Peace, peace, peace. But we know then only God can truly break us asunder and cure the divide and deal with sin and build a brotherhood of man, not on race, not on politics, not on wealth, not on oil, or any of those kind of things, but only through Jesus. Jesus as Lord. Psalms 133 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity." You know, I always think about, we as Baptists have a bad reputation about fighting with each other. We're fighting over the Bible. Got to get this straight, brother, and I'll straighten you out. You know, we're fighting over it all the time. But listen, the world doesn't know anything about that. What they see is disunity. And so we need to treat each other in love. And certainly if there is an instruction or some correction that we can render, do that. But it's a whole different thing to do that in love and in support and with helping hands than it is with, "I got that right. And I'll fix you if you'll let me." We can't do that. The writer here says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with the things that you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What's the most important part of that whole verse? The last part. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. But we need to know that this unity comes only in Jesus. It doesn't come into multiple faces of all kinds of world leaders and all that kind of stuff. Only in Jesus' name. Only can we find that out from the Bible. It's a work of God. It is a work of the Holy Spirit of God in every believer's life. The hope of the world. I've said it many times. Our folks are going to say, well, he's saying that again. He just did that last week. He's saying it again. But when I was in the Air Force, and it was during the war, during the Vietnam War, I was stationed in that terrible, terrible station in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Anybody been there? Most beautiful beaches in all the world. I was stationed there for 3 years. Good grief. I had to endure it for 3 years. Yeah. And I had 15 months left in the service. I don't know if I didn't re-enlist or anything like that. It didn't make any difference. I had 15 months left. The Air Force won't send you on a 13-month tour unless you have at least 14 months left in the service. They give you a month to get yourself straight so you can go. Well, I had cushion. I had 15 months, you know. I remember telling my wife that, and I don't think she was real happy about that. But nevertheless, I went to Korea. And as God does things, he always does things and we don't recognize it until maybe years and years afterwards. Flew from Seattle, Washington to Japan. And then, because there was a Vietnam War going on, got on an airplane. What I suspect, probably 90-some percent of those guys getting on that airplane were not going to South Korea. They were going to Vietnam. And so there were some people there handing out Bibles. Now, my house, we had a family Bible. Don't put a glass on it. You know, I don't know if we ever read it, but there was some reverence there anyway. So I had some idea that you don't throw away a Bible. The guys gave me this Bible. Okay, I took it. Stuck it in my, when I got to Osan. See, I wasn't going to Vietnam. I went to this place, they weren't even shooting at you. Yeah. And I stuck it in my locker, and I left it in there. But there were two guys in my squadron. Ron Renner, who lives down in Indianapolis. Mike Jester, who lives in Sidel, Louisiana. And they were talking about Jesus. My heavy equipment section, every morning we had a meeting, and we had two NCOICs. One was a real nice guy, and the other guy was a jerk. But Mike and Ron would interject into that meeting, Jesus. The jerk hated it. The jerk hated it. He thought to himself, I suspect somewhere along the line, I need to get rid of these guys. What could I do to them? So he sent one to drive for our wing commander. And it was a job. Our wing commander was a two-star general. He flew Jolly Greens. He liked to fly every place he went. If we were in Osan, Jack would have to take his car to Seoul. He would get in the Jolly Green. It would take Jack 2 hours, maybe a little more, to get to Seoul. He would be there in 10 minutes. I always thought to myself, don't they have any cars up there in Seoul? You know? But so he was doing that. They put me in the base ops because I was just kind of an ingredient, a hanger-on, so get rid of everybody you can. And so they sent me down to base ops, which was really good. Because it was there that I had time to read the Bible. I had all kinds of... Only time I was busy was when airplanes came in. The rest of the time, I was just there. So I was reading and reading. I had a Bible, I had a dictionary, and I had a yellow pad. I had the dictionary because half the words in the scripture I didn't know what they were. So I'd look them up. Well, we got a new base commander. And he came out to my truck one day. And he says, "What's that there? What's that there?" And I said, "Well, that's a Bible, sir." He said, "A Bible?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You know I'm a deist." Okay. I didn't know what that was. Did anybody know what it is? Go home and look it up. They believe in God, that God just made everything. He just walked off and left it, and it's going to hell in a handbasket, I think. But anyway. So I looked it up. Oh, deist. I thought, well, I'm not him. He's not me. But he said to me, he said, "What if that Bible slid off your dashboard, fell back, and hit somebody in your truck? That would be a catastrophe." I thought to myself, I've never seen that happen. But he insisted that I could not bring my Bible to work. He didn't like that pencil and paper, because that pencil was sharp, you know. That could really hurt somebody. And the tablet. Well, my NCOIC from base ops came out to me, and he said, "Now listen, Mike, get rid of everything." He said, "Take your tablet away, take your pencil away, take your dictionary away." He said, "But you bring your Bible, I guarantee you can read your Bible." Okay. All right. So I'm sitting in my church one day. My church. It was kind of a church. I was sitting in my truck, and the colonel came out, and he had a typewriter. And he comes in, and he sets his typewriter down on a caravan, so the motor had a flat spot there. He set his typewriter down. He said, "I need to go up to the barracks, take my typewriter home." I said, "Okay." And all of a sudden, the chief magistrate sergeant, who was in charge of the base ops and in the NCOIC level, came out, and he comes around to the truck, and he says, "Sir, can I speak to you a second?" "Sure." So I don't know what these guys thought. They get out of my truck. They walk around to the front of the truck. I'm sitting in the truck. I see everything they're saying, or hear everything they're saying, seeing everything they're doing. And it wasn't very long, and I realized something's getting hot here. Voices are raising. People are getting animated, you know, like that stuff. And so he came back in. He got his typewriter and went back in. The chief master sergeant came around to my door. He said, "Now listen, if we can't take Mama-san back to the main gate, that's unauthorized use of a military vehicle. If we can't do a mail run up to the mail to check mail, that's unauthorized use of a military vehicle. Taking somebody's typewriter to their barracks is an unauthorized use of a military vehicle." Whoa. Whoa. You know, I don't know. But listen, when you kick against the pricks, when you align yourself against God Almighty, God doesn't allow you to just keep going on forever and ever. I had about 2.5-3 months left at Osan, and I got to see that chief go home. They had the airplanes, Northwest airplanes. They had Red Tails. They were called Red Tails because of that. Vietnam, Korea, all that. The Red Tails meant you're going home. Everybody looked forward to that. I'm sitting in my truck one day, and I see this guy coming out to get on that plane. He's in a straitjacket. He's going. Two SPs with him. And they put him on that plane. And I sat there and I watched that. And you know who that was? That was that guy. Don't mess with God. He's got ways. Trust in the Lord in all that you do, in everything you do. God doesn't always just, boom, do something. But God does work. And he works in mysterious ways, in ways you'd never think of. I would have never thought that guy would have went home in a straitjacket, but he did. The world tells us to shut up. They don't want to hear about Jesus. But we need not to heed the world. If we be quiet, who's going to tell them about the Lord? Who's going to do that? Look, when you put Jesus first, you're following him. He's going to give you gifts and talents. He's going to empower you. You're the salt. You're the light in a dying world. We're ambassadors for Christ. We can't be stopped if we're on mission for the Lord. We're salt and light. That's what Jesus said. If someone is genuine, useful, faithful, we're salt. And God will use us. And in our day, our world needs a little heavy dose of salt. Jesus said salt was one of the most important substances in the ancient world. And we know that. Roman soldiers, did you know that? Were paid in salt. Matter of fact, that's where the term is that we get. You're worth your weight in salt. They got paid in salt. Literally. The English word comes from the Latin word meaning a soothing element. We should use this idiom. This man is not worth his salt. We need to recognize that Jesus, we're the salt of the earth. Salt preserves. It flavors. It's a spice. It's an antiseptic. Have you ever had some salt on a cut? That doesn't feel good, does it? My grandma always used to like to use that stuff called iodine. I was so glad when they came out with mercuricone. But salt heals. Salt creates thirst. And when salt creates a thirst in us, we have a longing for something. It's like a horse being led to water. The rest goes with it. But we can give him the praise for that because Jesus is doing those kind of things. He wants us to be thirsty for a relationship with him. We need to live in such a way that those around us see something's different in our life. There's a regularity, there's a flow, there's a cadence, there's actions, there's speech about us that they don't have. You don't have to go, I'm a Jesus man, I'm a Jesus man, I'm a Jesus man, although it wouldn't hurt, I guess. But if you live your life for Jesus, the world is going to know it. Probably opposition is going to come, but God will equip you to overcome that. Jesus not only said you were salt, but he also said you were light, right? Light dispels darkness. I've told this story many times, but up in the old associational office up there, I went in there to get something. I don't know if it was TB or what. Sent me up there, but it was past time, and the building was off. And so when I unlocked the door opened, and the lights in the hallway came on. That's nice, you know. So I went down. About halfway through the hall, but I guess I wasn't going fast enough because they went off. I guess, you know, you had that time to get where you're going to go, and now we're good. And now I'm, you know, searching around. I found a doorknob, and I tried to see if I could get the key in there. There didn't seem to be any key placement there. But somehow or another, I turned the knob. The door opened. My goodness, the door opened. All right. And I stepped in. And all of a sudden, I was attacked by all kinds of terrible things. Something fell on my head. Something fell on my face. Wet, gooey mess. You know what that was? That was a janitor's closet. That wet, gooey thing was a mop that he'd probably been mopping the floor in the bathroom with or something. But listen. We always have the guidance of God in our lives. He'll direct us. Let me see. Do we have that song, Lou? Let's do that. Can you stand? Can everybody stand? Dave, you want to stand? You can help me on this. Matter of fact, you can do it much better than me. Come up here. This is just a really hard, difficult song. You may have never heard it. But just listen to some of the people that are around you, okay? This is not a bad song. Ready? We got it. We got it, Vondell? She's gonna put a little music to it.
This little light of mine,
let it shine. What are you supposed to be doing? Let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I guess there's no, blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I better stop and mess that poor song up bad enough as it is. Listen, you're royal ambassadors. You're light, you're salt. Don't ever think that what you're doing is insignificant. The most insignificant things are probably the most important things that God's using to shape and mold and touch somebody else. We're going out from here, out there on St. Joe Center, turn right or left, whichever way you go. Guess where you're at? The mission field. Amen? We've got all kinds of chances this week to be ministers, to be light and be salt. Can we do it? We can do it. Can we? We can do it better than me singing that song. I know that. David, come up here and close this in prayer, brother.
Let's pray together. Father, we come to you today and we are grateful that we can be blessed by your power, your Holy Spirit that helps us, that guides us, that Lord, let us be the salt and the light to this world. Father, the one who blesses the unity of believers. And so today, as we gather, Father, together as your church, we pray that as we walk out these doors, we will indeed be salt, we'll be light. Father, we'll make a difference to those in our sphere of influence, that we will exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only hope in this world. So, Father, may Jesus be lifted up. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. When you get out there on the road, that's the mission field.